Oye, LOLeros, hay party. Tragos party, that is. The Tragos Party Games are here and they are the party games for Latinos. Created by a dynamic team of Latinas, Tragos Game and Get Loud, don't you love the name, were designed to connect Latinos of all generations and backgrounds, celebrating the similarities shared among all Latinos through hilarious gameplay. Whether playing Tragos, a drinking party game for adults, or engaging the whole familia in the competitive Get Loud, these games are guaranteed to bring fun to your holidays this year. Tragos Game and Get Loud are both easy to play and can be enjoyed with two or more players. And guess what, mi gente? They are available at all Targets nationwide and on Target.com. They're also accessible on Amazon. Go to Amazon and look for Tragos Game. Also, look for the episode of Latinos Out Loud where we interview founder Carolina and head of marketing Aralis of the Tragos family. ¡Ay, party! Yo te lo dije.
LOLeros, it's your girl Rachel La Loca, and if you're in the New York area on Thursday, May 16th, then please, por favor, come out and join me at what will be an iconic celebration of the 400th episode of the Latinos Out Loud podcast. Woo! Can't believe how far we've come together. LOLeros, I love you. So I'm joining forces with the folks at Latino Laughter to present a hilarious evening of comedy at the legendary Broadway Comedy Club located at 318 West 53rd Street. The show is at 8 p.m. and you can get your tickets at BroadwayComedyClub.com. George of Latino Laughter is one of my mentors who gave me the power of the mic way back when I hosted my first stand-up comedy show at the Broadway Comedy Club over 10 years ago. So I'm super, super thankful. Agradecida. The show on May 16th is going to be another great one with the comedy of Jose Bedoy, Huge J, my girl Soph's Dope, my guy PJ Bryan, and one of the original Latino Laughter comedians, Tony Marrero. LOLeros, join me for this party on Thursday, May 16th at 8 p.m. at the Broadway Comedy Club here in NYC for what will be an unforgettable evening. And thank you for helping us achieve this milestone of 400 episodes. There may be a podcast piñata and other surprises, so get your tickets at BroadwayComedyClub.com and I will see you on May 16th. Un beso!
Yo, 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 LOLeros, what's good in the hood? What hood are we in right now? LES, Lower East Side, representing right now. It's your girl, Rachel La Loca. This is Latinos Out Loud bonus. Yo, it's a bonus episode dropping today, a very special day. Put your lighters up. It's 420. That's right. Happy 420, everybody. Woo, woo. Get your white owls. Get your Dutch masters. Get everything you need to sit back, relax, light up, and listen. And if you don't smoke, that's okay, too. Just listen to this because it's all about entrepreneurship and spirit and just doing things and fulfilling your dreams. I am here with such a special guest. This is a really exciting location to be at, by the way. Usually I'm in studio, but when we're on location, I always love to absorb the vibe, and I'm certainly absorbing here, catching some contact too. But we are here at Con Body and the Con Bud Dispensary in LES, and I am joined by founder Cos Marte. What's up, Cos?
What's up? Nah, thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, thank you for doing this. Thank you for taking time for Latinos Out Loud.
Oh, thank you.
LOL if you like acronyms.
Yeah.
I really want to dig deep into this because there's probably, I could feel the history in this place.
Yeah.
And I love the decor, you guys. Like Con Body. I walked in through a jail cell the first time I've ever done that. And hopefully the last. I hope they don't find out what I did last summer. But this is so exciting to be here with your baby. This is a big baby.
Yeah, no, it's been a lot. I mean, Con Body's been running for now 11 years.
Wow.
And we were originally across the street, actually three blocks away where I used to sell weed at, in the same corner. And then now we, at this
still
corner,
selling weed.
Still selling weed. Yeah, we're back at it.
But different.
Yeah.
Now,
legal. I'm paying taxes. It's crazy.
Wow. Okay, we got to start back, way back.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you served some time.
Mm-hmm.
What did you serve time for?
Selling weed. So I went in multiple times. I went in at 13, 15, 16, 17, 19, 22 a couple times, 23 for my long bid. So total, I have probably about almost a dozen arrests in my record.
And you did these bids for Bud?
Bud and then Coke for the last one, too.
Thank you for being so honest, by the way. You know, these interviews, I kind of knew this was going to be this kind of interview.
Yeah.
And I love that you're an open Bud book right now. Because I want to dig deep. I want to find out. I really want to hear your story because I read a little something. And shout out to Ramel, who's also told me a little bit about you. But I think there's more to be told. I think you have some stories here.
Yeah,
so go on. So you did these bids. And while you were inside, you had this vision of becoming an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was 2012. And that's when I ended up in solitary confinement. And I was about to be released in about a couple months when I went into prison for the last time. I was sentenced to 7 years. I ended up doing a total of 4 years. But I was about to be released in 2012. And I got into altercation with an officer that led me into solitary confinement, 24-hour lockdown. It was a messed up situation, and it was actually for weed. And so I'm in 24-hour lockdown, middle of the summer, and not knowing like what I wanted to do when I came home. But I was already helping inmates in the prison system like lose weight. I lost 70 pounds in 6 months.
Wow.
While I was incarcerated, after doctors told me my cholesterol levels were through the roof. And
you did something about it on the inside.
Yeah, and I
got healthy.
I just moved. You know, I took advantage of my time. And educated myself as much as I can, read a whole bunch of books, and worked out, you know. And so that's what I aimed to continue to do as just like a hobby, but I didn't know I was going to come out and start a business behind it until I ended up in solitary. And in solitary was when I started really reflecting on my life, on how I was going to get back to society in some sort of way. And so I came up with the idea of a prison-style boot camp. Where I was going to hire people coming out of the prison system to teach fitness classes. Myself, I just thought that I was just going to come home, do it in the park, which I did. That was the only thing I had available and the only tool I had. And so I just kept doing it. And from there, just started growing little by little. It's been 11 years now, and we've trained over 70,000 people.
Yeah. First off, congratulations
on
so many things. On opening your dream business and rerouting your life. That is really hard to do. I don't know how you did it. I mean, it sounds like you really just got in tune with yourself and was able to sort of find your dream and like the passion to pursue it. And I don't think everybody could do that. So shout out to you.
Thank you.
Can we talk about solitary confinement? Because it's always in the news,
you
know, shutting down Rikers. Weren't they supposed to shut down Rikers like eons ago?
Well, they signed something saying that they had a 10-year plan. So I was part of like that closed Rikers Island movement. I was helping a whole bunch of political people back then. That was 2016, I think, when we were advocating. And I was also going inside the jail systems. We actually go into Rikers Island almost every day, 5 days a week. And we train the inmates how to become trainers. And we want to give them a job as soon as they come out and got opportunities here and all that stuff. But that closed Rikers Island movement was a political move, but they decided that they were going to close Rikers in 10 years, supposedly, we'll see, and open up these city-based jails. They were going to open up 4 jails, one in Manhattan, the Bronx, Brooklyn, and Queens, and they were going to build the tallest jail in right here downtown.
Wow.
In the world. 40 stories.
Wow.
You know, and so my brother's actually a city council member for all downtown Manhattan.
That's so great.
Advocated the hell out of it.
Shout him out. What's his name?
Christopher Marte.
Okay, we gotta follow him.
Yeah. So he, him and I, we brought our people together and we started protesting, and he put a lawsuit in a few years back to not construct that 40-story prison jail. And it worked. And we won, but then they actually moved the location where they were going to build that jail across across the street where it was permitted to be, where there was already a jail. And so we lost eventually, and now they're building this gigantic thing.
What was the opposition to building this high-rise jail?
Well, they're saying, like, hey, we need a place to stick everybody in, you know. And so right now we have about 2,000 inmates over what the city-based jails could hold.
Okay.
And so those 2,000 are basically in Rikers Island. What I was proposing is, like, a lot of these individuals we incarcerate have a lot of mental health issues.
Oh, yes.
And we see it in the street. We see a lot of homeless people continuously, you know, get stopped and harassed by cops. And they do crazy shit sometimes. And sometimes they even scare me. I'm walking by and somebody's yelling. And I'm like, what the fuck, you know?
You got kids. I got kids.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think we should definitely try to keep these places safe. But what are we doing when we just put this person in jail and lock them up in a box and then just medicate them with a whole bunch of meds to numb them out?
We're moving backwards.
We're not doing anything. You know, there's no one that they're really talking to. There's no real therapy in there. You know, there's no, actually, I haven't, when I was there, there's no therapy.
There's no therapy for inmates.
No therapy. No therapy.
This is disturbing.
And we call it the correctional system to correct the problem. You know?
And there's not one therapist that will sit there and develop a plan or give medication for those that are in need
of
mental health.
Well, they do like a psychiatry evaluation in the beginning. If anybody's been using meds in the past, you know, they look at medical records and stuff like that. And people do take meds. But sometimes people get diagnosed just because they fill out, hey, whatever, in their form, and they just get hit with, like, Seroquel or some crazy shit like that, and they just numb them out. You know, what I really wanted to propose was, like, all right, let's build, instead of building four huge, gigantic jails, and it's a $9 billion project, why can't we just build mental health hospitals? You know, we got one mental health hospital, but we're going to build mad jails.
Right.
You know, like, it just doesn't make any sense. 20% of the inmates right now sitting in New York City have real severe mental health issues.
This is so sad.
Yeah.
But what can we, LOLeros, myself, what can we do to change that? We're not city councilmen or women. We don't have this voice that you have through Con Body and Con Bud. What can we do?
I think just make people aware. I think that's the biggest thing, is, like, information, and nobody really knows this is happening.
No.
You know, nobody. This was, like, a hot topic maybe, like, 6 years ago about closing Rikers Island and all that stuff. But right now, like, people just came off of the pandemic. They're trying to, you know, get back to normalization. They see this so-called rising crime, which is not really the fact. But we do see a lot of mental health issues. Every day. I'm seeing that right down the block. You know, these homeless people tell me, like, hey, I'm smoking K2 because I can't take medication, you know, and I'm self-medicating, you know. And
all this train crime, all these, like, that's mental health. Like, these aren't just, like, bad guys. Like, this isn't the Wild Wild West with cowboys. Like, there ain't enough room in this town for the both of us. Like, these are people with mental health ailments.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Rikers once to visit somebody. I'll never forget that, like, day in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It was so disturbing. I mean, I went to third base with a female corrections officer. I didn't really want to go to third base, but she put fingers in places that I was like, whoa, 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 shorty. Whoa, whoa. And I remember I was online waiting to get in. I heard all this screaming, loud screaming. And I was like, where is that coming from? And this girl behind me said, oh, that's the box. And I'm like, what's the box? Like, that's solitary confinement. That's where they throw them in there and just shut the lights and leave them there all day.
No, they don't shut the lights. They keep the lights on.
Oh, gosh.
And so, yeah, that's even worse.
I thought she said, like, they shut the lights.
Well, in movies and back then, like, you know, like, when we think about solitary confinement, we see these movies of, like, a hole and there's no light, and they just, like, the only light you get is when they open up the slot so they could feed you.
Okay.
You know, and that was the fact back in the day.
Oh, so she was telling me the story from the movies. Okay, tell me the real story, please. What is it like down there?
It's a 9x6 cell. you're locked down. Most people are locked down 23 hours a day, and they have 1 hour a rec, which is rec is like a cage outside, which you're just getting air and you're still locked in basically. It drives you crazy, especially when you go in, you know, for the first few days until you start really normalizing and start really settling in on what you need to do to get your mind right, you know. And so the way I got my mind right, every time I went to solitary, it was just like, I'm going to start basically a routine. You know, I would wake up, you know, work out, I would write letters, you know, I would take a bird bath because you only get a couple showers a week. So a bird bath is like you have this small little sink in your cell on top of your toilet. You got washcloth or soap, and you're just there, you know, and just killing time, reading as many books as you can. And that's it. Then you sleep, and you're trying to sleep as much as you can. So
you can never escape
reality.
I can't delete those screams of anguish and pain that I was listening to as I was waiting on that security line. And I just started developing all these stories and, like, images in my head of these poor people. Like, this is really inhumane treatment.
And the majority is black and brown people, you know?
Those are people.
It's 95% of the people on Rikers Island are people like us.
Yeah. Taking this all in. You know, usually we do comedy on this podcast.
My bad.
You know what I'm saying? We're gonna make a joke. We're doing con body, okay? Don't drop the soap. Is that real? Like, is that real?
Nah, that shit ain't. That, back in the day, I heard it's real. I never experienced that. We joke about it while we were incarcerated. There's, like, people like that have, like, the soap on the rope and shit like that.
Yeah.
Better. Nah, you know, people, like, getting raped and all that stuff in prison, that there's no, people don't respect that shit no more. Like, that's not a thing. You know, maybe in, like, the 90s and 80s and Oz days, but now you get beat up, you know, for that.
Yeah, like, aside from the inhumane treatment, I'm sure, like, you got to be on edge, always looking over your shoulder. Like, did you see a lot of your Dominican peoples in there too? Like
a lot of Dominican people. I mean, the majority of Latinos in New York State jails are Dominican. And I mean, we, you know, not to sadden shit up, but also like we also had fun in there, you know, and I was not always looking over my shoulder. You know, there was incidents where I'm like, I got a beef with somebody that walked into the tier, you know, I got to deal with the situation at hand. I got to, you know, watch my shoulder. This person's going to hit me with a phone or a lock in a sock or some shit. You know what I mean? But for the most part, like, you know, we had our camaraderie. And it's not only Dominicans, but Latinos always got together, especially around the domino table. Like, that was, like, our, like, safe haven, you know, where we locked in, played dominoes, we cooked together. You know, and that was it, you know, and we always stuck together because, you know, it's really segregated, unfortunately, while you're in the system.
Well, if there's one thing about nuestra gente, lo dominicano, que somos como, you know, we're communal, we're like very much a door open door policy to the apartment, come and sit down, te quiere comida, hay bizcocho dominicano,
you know what I mean?
Un cafecito, un mango, lo que sea. Okay, so now let's get to this entrepreneurial vision that came about while you were inside. How do you even start? Because I think some people get paralysis by analysis. Like, they're like, oh, I want to do this, but oh, I'm scared. I can't do it. Can't become an entrepreneur. Can't open up this massive gym on Orchard Street on a major thoroughfare in LES.
Yeah.
How did you take action?
I think it was more of out of desperation. You know, just like I came home, I knew I needed a job. I knew I needed money. It was not like I'm going to come home and start a business and it's going to be all wavy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like most entrepreneurs don't make it. You need a lot of capital to start some shit like this. Like it's extremely, extremely difficult. But I just came and did the work, you know. And for me, it was like I went to job interview. Nobody wanted to hire me. So I just like started doing side jobs, internships, cleaning hotels for my uncle, you know, under his name.
Wow.
Because, like, I was going to be rejected because of my name, you know. So I'm, like, operating like an illegal immigrant when I'm a citizen, And it was just work, you know. Like every day I would get up, teach a class in the park at 6 a.m. I would go home, start cleaning hotels by like 8 or 9, come out, I was going to school. Then I was teaching another class at like 7, you know, and then I was just nonstop, you know, and just kept doing the work.
So 11 years later,
yeah.
Tell us about Combody and Combud. Tell us about this establishment, because I could describe where we are, but I will not do it like justice, no pun intended. Or maybe that was an intended pun. But tell us about this establishment that you have here. This is massive, yo. Yeah.
No, it's crazy because I grew up 3 blocks. My mom still lives in the same apartment I grew up
really?
In.
So you came back to the hood. Was that intentional?
I never left the hood. Yeah. I'm still here. You know? Wow. I lived down the block. You know, my weed spot was, my spot was down the block, 3 blocks away.
Your corner?
Yeah, my corner was Broome and Eldridge. Yo. My mom lived on Rivington and Eldridge. I was there 24 hours a day on a milk crate nonstop. That's point intended, like the milk crate display wall downstairs. It's like... Because I sat on a milk crate 24 hours a day, like 3 days, 4 days straight, nonstop, no sleep, you know. And then I would like crash for like 20 hours and then back to work.
Your creativity is mind blowing. Go ahead. Please go on.
And it was just, you know, one at a time. I was hiring people coming out of the prison system. And it was extremely difficult because I'm dealing with people that don't have, never had a job, never had a bank account, you know, I'm doing everything for them, you know, and I've hired over 100 people coming out of the prison system now.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And today we have 38 employees, with the Bronx is going to be a 50 something, you know, full-time employees. So it's going to be, it's a crazy journey to see, you know, me walk down a block and see this sign here on this corner, you know what I mean? Like, it's unbelievable, and it's surreal sometimes. I'm like, I smoke a blunt while I'm walking down here, and I'm like, this shit ain't fucking real still, you know? Like, that shit is crazy, you know?
Yeah. But, and it's just so admirable. Like, you're also giving back to the community that brought you up and giving jobs, opportunities to those that, you know, where it wouldn't come easy for them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's been a journey, but it's rewarding when I see like my staff that, you know, we've been neglected so many opportunities, and they come up to me and be like, yo, I appreciate, you know, this. Now I can feed my daughter, I can feed whatever, you know what I mean? Like, that's the biggest reward. You know, yeah. Money comes and goes, and sometimes I'm broke, sometimes I got money. It is what it is, and it's a roller coaster, but. At the end of the day, the only impact that we're going to leave behind is people, you know.
Well, what a legacy that you are creating.
That's the goal.
And what a positive role model for your kids and the kids of this neighborhood.
Yeah.
You ever talk to the kids in this neighborhood that are out there hustling and doing the stuff that maybe you started doing as a youth?
Some of them, you know, and it's hard. When you're 16, 15 years old, you know, you think you run the world, you know everything, is difficult. But one kid, like my son, he's 16 years old, you know, he's an incredible kid, like incredible, you know. And I remember when he was like a freshman in high school, he wrote out a speech for his class, for his speech class. And he spoke about criminal justice and, you know, how, you know, I was incarcerated and how he wanted to help people and all this stuff. And I remember him coming after school and telling me, yo, Dad, somebody came up to me after class and was like, you know, felt comfortable sharing that their dad was incarcerated, mm-hmm. and that they've never mentioned that to someone, and they were ashamed to talk about it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy that we're an open book, you know. Like, the more you share, the more you feel comfortable, the more it's not like this hidden thing. And that was the purpose of, like, putting this prison gate, putting the mugshot wall, like, just being who we are, you know, showing our past and not really hiding. And if you don't accept it, then fuck you, you know, like, we don't need to be your friend, you know.
It's really amazing just how you embrace your past and building on it for your future, yeah, and for the future of your kids, your family. I'm really blown away, you know, like you hear about the venue and like everything that you're doing here. I knew there was like this deep story behind it. Like I kind of knew, but I'm so glad that we're delayering, dissecting it for the Eloeleros. I mean, okay, now present day, I want to talk, well, first I want to talk about any of the obstacles that you faced in creating this place, because I know that there are some in the Eloelero Hive right now, also these future entrepreneurs that are like, what can I do with my life experience? How can I change the world? You know, like Kaz did.
Yeah, I'm not changing the world.
You don't think so?
Nah, just...
I think you are.
Providing a couple opportunities, that's it.
You're making big changes. Maybe, I don't know. You need to think about that a little more.
Maybe one day. anybody that wants to like start their own thing, I just feel like take the leap. You know, it could start off as a hobby. Don't just be like, I'm going to quit my job and start this shit right away. You know, you obviously need some type of income to survive and see if you could, like, you know, take that leap afterwards. You know, it's going to take some time. But you know, don't hide anything that you have a good idea. Because a lot of people are like, oh, I got a great idea, but I ain't sharing it because somebody's going to steal this shit. And
yeah,
then you're like,
yep,
no, put that shit out there. Because the more you put it out there, the more you're going to know if it's likable by people, you know.
And then people will help.
Yeah.
Because they'll see your vision and be like, I'm right behind you.
And your family and friends are going to be your number one, you know, they're going to be your number one supporters. They're going to be like, nah, that shit is whack, you know. And so it's the best, like some, like I went to Brown University to speak at the MBA class, and this kid had an incredible idea with some technology stuff and all that stuff. And I'm like, have you put it out? You know, have you asked anybody if they want this? And he's like, no, not yet. I'm still finishing my business plan. I'm like, I think you should ask somebody if they want this, you know, because you might be building something incredible, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars of capital on something that nobody really wants, you know.
Got to workshop your shit, you know what I mean? As a comedian, we always workshop and see if jokes land.
Exactly.
And if they don't, you tuck them away, you work on them, and you save them for another day.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so now let's talk about the future. You have other shops. Can you just drop like the info on where else are you located? And then you have a party coming up.
Yeah, so we're gonna do a 420 party, block party right here. My permit hasn't been accepted, but fuck it.
Oh my God.
Nah, they say it's pending, but I'm away.
Wait, your brother's a city councilman. What's up?
No, I can't. That's another fucking story.
Okay. Yeah. We'll bring him back for another episode.
I try to like get my brother to tell me some contacts, and then the New York Post like foiled him because they said he was doing favors. All this bullshit. Anyway, we good. We in the clear because I've never asked him for anything, but like, hook me up with a phone number or email, you know? I never said, like, yo, get me a contract or some shit like that. Long story short.
Just real quick, we have some people in government that listen to this podcast. So I'm calling on you right now, okay, to reach out to this man and help us out here, okay? You see what he's doing. If you're out there listening and you can do something to make a difference, please slide in the DM and Instagram, and I will connect you, or just reach out to this man. You know where he is.
Yeah.
Continue, please.
And so we're going to have this 420 block party here. We also opening up our grand opening in the Bronx.
Whoop, whoop.
On 1 Bruckner. And so that's going to be exciting.
When is that happening?
420.
On 420?
On 420.
How are you going to be in 10 places at once?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure you got the team, or maybe you have a clone. Did you also figure that out on the inside?
I'm trying. No, I'm going to rent a little scooter and... I'm going to take a few red lights.
That's fine.
And that's it.
That's okay. Just watch those red light cameras, okay?
I know. But with the scooter, electrical, you ain't got to worry.
Oh, my God.
That's the secret.
This is so exciting. So you're going to be at 1 Bruckner. So anybody can go. Do you have to be a member to shop here? How does that work? You can just walk in?
It's all recreational. All you need is a photo ID proving that you're over 21, passport, immigration card, whatever it is. That's all you need.
And what about to work out here? How does that work?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's classes. First class is free, you know, and then...
The first class is free. Free 99, people. Yeah, you heard that?
Yeah. Try it. Go to our website at combody.com. It's simple, and just come through and check it out.
You know. Do you have to dress in black and white stripes to take the class?
If you'd like to.
I would like to.
Yeah, you have
to. You don't have to?
You don't have to. Okay. Maybe orange if
fine.
You want.
Orange. Yes, okay, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. So I like the old school black and white stripes. So, yeah. You know. This is so cool. Okay, so I would love if you can just give me some tips because we're preparing for our summer bodies. This broken toe that I've had for the last month is really not cute. I'm scared to go to the gym. It hurts. Eso duele.
Is it hurting when you're doing a plank?
I don't know how to do a plank.
What do you mean? You can't just like get on your palms?
I mean, I can, but I feel like I plank wrong. Mama, I'm like a stank plank.
Can we try it right now?
Yes. Let's Are we going to do this right now? I've never done anything like this before on LOL.
I see, Rita, like that. You can't do this?
Okay. Okay, guys.
You could do that.
Here we go. Okay, wait. I've got to get ready. Hold on. Because the jacket, I think, will burst if I try to plank. And this is a big jacket. And I just bought it, and it says Brooklyn on it, so it's cute.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So show me again.
Get on your palms. I ain't got to show you.
Right. Get on my palms. I'm on my palms.
Off your knees.
Off my knees.
Your toe hurt there?
No, I'm on like my big toe, not my little toe. But this is starting to be strenuous. Yes.
Yeah, that's so stand up. I'm going to show you one exercise that's going to be full body. All right. You could do what I recommend to do is like just do 10 reps, 10 sets of whatever amount you can do.
Okay.
So a bodybuilder is something that I pretty much adapted a lot while I was incarcerated. So you squat down, all right? You kick back, you open up, close up, you give me a push-up.
Oh, my God.
Land flat, or you could step it out and then stand up.
Okay, all right? I got to work on that.
So one more time, we're going to squat down. All right, kick back, open up, close up, give me that push up. And you could just step it out if your feet hurt and just stand up right there.
Okay, I'm really bad at this push up stuff, especially like wearing
push-up bras. You did great, y'all, you did great.
Okay, this is so much fun. Let me get this mic back. Okay, you saw how to do that, right? I was not the best demonstrator. Follow his demo, not mine. And if you want to come, please drop your handles, tell them the address, give all the information on how people can get involved in this magical place.
Now, if you want to get your body right, come to ConBody, ConBody. And if you want to get your mind right, go right downstairs at ConBud, ConBody. You already know.
Now, are you hiring? Because what if you want to get your money right? You know what I'm saying? Your mind right, your body right, your money right.
Well, our application period for the Bronx just closed up. But I'm hoping that we're going to start working on ConBud Midtown.
Right.
So that's the goal that I'm working on
now. So follow this man. Support this man. What a story. Thank you for opening up. That
you.
Was really just
Thank
touching
you.
And so inspiring.
Thank you.
Anybody can pursue their dreams. All you need is this and this.
That's it. And work.
Whew. You guys, I hope you were as touched as I was. This was such a great bonus episode. Happy 420. Happy 420. Everybody Lots celebrate responsibly.
Yeah.
Shout out to Romel behind the camera. Thank you for having Latinos Out Loud and myself here.
You.
And that was it. Okay, make sure you follow Latinos Out Loud at We Are Latinos Out Loud. Give us a call, 978-LATINOS. You can follow me at Rachel La Loca. And on that note, we out.
Peace.